There are two basic motivating forces, fear and love. When we are afraid, we pull back from life. When we are in love, we open up to all that life has to offer with passion, excitement, and acceptance. We need to learn to love ourselves first in all our glory and our imperfections. If we cannot love ourselves, we cannot fully open to our ability to love others or to our potential to create. Evolution, all hopes for a better world, rest in the fearlessness and open-hearted vision of people who embrace life. And this week's opening quote comes from John Lennon. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, everything about this system is designed to make you pull back from life. Exactly as John Lennon said in that quote. You know, we live in a system that has its foundation in fear-based mind control, and it is this fear that causes people to pull back from life all the time. And great things have been achieved by those who embrace life. Indeed, all of the great things that have been achieved in history have been achieved by those who embrace life. And everything about this system is designed to prevent us doing that. I mean, sure, we're given certain pleasures we can pursue, certain enjoyment zones we can go and participate in and all that sort of stuff. We're given things to do, but is that really what it's all about? Is that really how you participate in life? Because life isn't really about working and then going to the designated enjoyment zones. Life is about excelling. Life is about experiencing the art of being you. But everything about this system detracts us from that path. Now, even the spiritual paths that we get led down are usually circular paths that lead us into a little blind alley and keep us locked in there in a state of inaction. And it's the same with most of the things that we're given, which appear to be beneficial to us on the surface. They're presented in that way, but when we really look a little deeper, they're not beneficial at all. And if you look even deeper than that, you find that most of them are designed to channel you in a certain direction, down a certain pathway, and give you concepts which simply serve to homogenize your thinking and lead you away from the true essence of yourself. Look at recent changes that have been made to the education system. This has been done under the guise of making it fair for all the children. You know, I'll give people reward cards for simply participating in an event, but they won't give any awards to the higher achievers because they don't want the underachievers to feel bad. So essentially, they're not rewarding high achievers, they're not rewarding intelligence. And what this does is it prevents people from excelling. It makes people believe that everybody is of equal brain capacity or equal ability to everybody else, and this simply isn't true. This prevents people from ever feeling that they can excel. It prevents people from leaving school, becoming entrepreneurs. And it basically homogenizes society so that there are no high achievers because there are no underachievers. And this effectively makes everybody uniform in the eyes of the system. But as I said, it also prevents people from ever being able to excel and remove themselves from the control mechanisms of the system. Now, something that I've said many times before is that what we're actually facing here is a spiritual battle. And this can be applied to the emotional response to the system and also the legal response to the system. And even when we look at ways out of the system, and I'm not talking about legal ways out of the system or free man ways out of the system, but more emotional ways, spiritual endeavors, more ways of internally removing ourselves from the system. Many of the things that are offered to us, such as the New Age movement, many spiritual pathways that people pursue. These sorts of pathways are very often designed to steer you away from any real participation in life as well. And that may seem like a strange thing to many people, but it's true. You know, if you spend your life sitting there in hours of solitary meditation, you're kind of missing out on the world that you live in and the people around you who all came here to share the experience with you. And really, it's about the experience. You know, if you really want loneliness and sitting there in a meditative state, well, I assure you, you're going to get a lot of that after death. You know, we spend a lot of time during life wanting to find the oneness that we believe exists. But really, when you have experienced that true oneness in meditation or in ceremony, it's actually a very lonely place to be. It's actually profoundly lonely. And you're going to get plenty of that after this experience is over. So make sure you don't miss out on the path and miss out on the journey that you're on and miss out on the experience and the joy of duality the joy of actually having someone to have a conversation with, it's a pretty good thing. You know, we've been given this concept of what duality is and how we need to step away from duality. And sure, when duality separates us and makes us fight and argue with each other, it's a bad thing. But duality in itself is how experience happens. Without duality, you can't have any experience because you're simply at one with the entire universe. You are all-knowing, all-powerful, all-omnipotent. Where is there to go from there? Who is there to talk to? What is there to do with all of that information? You know, could that be why we come here? Why we come here to experience this grand duality amnesiac experiment? Because it's really the only way to have what we would call experience. It's the only way to have any real experience at all. And without the amnesia that goes along with it, well, how would you have anything new ever happen? You'd already know the outcome of everything. You'd already know every experience, every sensation. So you need to come into this reality with a completely fresh slate, not knowing anything, in order to make the experience even worth having. Indeed, to even have an experience. I mean, just imagine, folks, if you came here knowing everything about everything, then what would there be left to experience? It wouldn't be experience. It'd just be a repetition of everything you've already experienced. And everything, no matter how fantastic it is, I mean, it doesn't matter how much you love it, if you do it enough, eventually it's going to get old. But think of something that you really love to do and remember the joy that you got the first time you did that. And the joy that you received the many times that you did it after that. But if this went on for 10,000 years or a million years, I mean, how much joy would you get from it? And so you have to live the life in a state of amnesia, or else there is nothing to experience. You know, one of the greatest things to know about life is that it's about the experience. It's about the journey. It's not about collecting stuff. It's not about material wealth. We often think it is. We think that this quest for wealth and this quest for intellectual knowledge or this quest for whatever is experiencing life, but it isn't. Life is about sensation. It's about taste. It's about smell. It's about sight. It's about feeling things. It's about touch. It's about eating food. It's about feeling emotions, learning what these emotions are for and how to use these emotions, and feeling love for another person. Experiencing the trees, the birds, the butterflies, the ocean, all of the incredible things that are here to experience, you know, that only exist in physicality. And it has nothing to do with the accumulation of wealth. It's about the journey. You know, we go down this pathway of this quest for knowledge or this quest for wealth, but what you find is that the more of it that you get, the less satisfied you become. It's an interesting thing. You know, if you gave everybody in the world $10 million or $100 million or $1 billion or whatever, just give them unlimited wealth, probably within a week or two or a month or two, certainly within a year, that would be bored silly. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves. If they were able to do everything, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves, because none of the things that they really do in life are real pursuits. You know, like if we get $10 million, what are we going to do? They're going to go and spend it on traveling the world and going to all these places, which have all been homogenized to be the same as everywhere else. Or what are we going to do? Buy fancy clothes or a fancy car or a big house or whatever. You know, we buy all this stuff, we get all these things, but it doesn't really mean anything, because it's not really about that. You know, we think that if we reach these goals, it's actually going to mean something, but it doesn't. It's just a distraction from who we are. It's the same as a lot of the intellectual pursuits that we indulge ourselves in as well. I mean, the more knowledge we get, the less we know. Because as you accumulate more and more knowledge, you begin to realize that it's mostly other people's opinions, and you don't really know the validity of most of it anyway. You don't really know how reputable most of these sources are. We might say, well, look, they come from very reputable books by reputable authors, but how do you know? How do you know they're actually reputable? Did you write the reviews on them? Did you know them? Do we even know these books are as old as what we're being told that they are? You know, I begin to question everything because, I mean, ultimately all that we know is that which exists within living memory. All the rest of it is simply stuff that we've been told. So it becomes very, very difficult to actually figure out the real story of where we are, where we came from, and who we are, what time it is, what year it is, what date it is, what history really is all about at all. And that's the result that I've come to anyway, after 40 or 50 years of digging down these rabbit holes and attempting to discover the truth, what I've discovered is that the only real truth I ever knew and will ever know is myself. You know, even with the history book that I wrote back in 2005, Earth's Forbidden Secrets, when I was looking at that book, or when I was looking at the information to write the book, I was assuming that the timeline we're given is correct. I was assuming that time has progressed in the way they say it has progressed. I mean, sure, there may be certain problems with history, such as when you look at the pyramids, they claim they were built 4,500 years ago, but all evidence would suggest that they were actually built around 10,500 years ago. But that, again, is using the timeline we are given as a reference point. And admittedly, all I was really attempting to do with that book was point out the fact that everything we're told about history is wrong. I mean, history is completely different to what we're told it is, even given the timeline that they give us. Even if the timeline they give us is correct, history is still completely different to what we're told it is. Because we've got all these monuments and all these things lying all over the planet which tell a completely different story to the one that we've been told. So that was the main point of the book. But like I'm saying, even in looking at that, I was still using their timeline as a reference point because I was assuming that that timeline was correct. But what if that reference point is completely wrong? What if that timeline is not correct at all? An interesting thing that I've come across recently is a mudslide that happened in Europe sometime within the last 400 or 500 years. I mean, and I'm talking a mud flood, not just a mud slide, a mud flood that seems to have gone right across the entirety of Europe because they're finding buildings in Russia. Like there was one building, they went in there and they started digging a foundation to put in a new building. And as they were digging down, they found that the buildings next door actually had another floor below ground level that nobody knew was there. And they just covered it all up, moved the front entrance to the building up to the second floor and allowed it all to stay that way. And there's a whole layer of mud that has gone right through this town around about 12 feet high, which has virtually buried an entire level of the town. And they also found this to be the case in Italy, which is way down in the south of Europe, the south of the European continent. So this is in Russia, and it's also in Italy, so where else is it? And I'm finding buildings in Holland that have got strange dates on them. They have a J there instead of a 1. For example, a town that was built in the 1600s, the date on one of the buildings may be J646, which gives the impression of 1646, only it has a J there instead of a 1, which is a very interesting thing, which makes me wonder whether that is possibly a Jesuit reference or a reference to the Julian date, the Julian calendar, or is that simply the way they wrote ones back then, or what's going on? But these buildings that we're seeing that have a complete floor buried below the surface were built around about the 15 or 1600s. So if this mud flood went across the European continent, it's happened very, very recently, like within the last 400 or 500 years. So why don't we know about that? And of course, even thinking about that, it brings all of our history into question. It brings the Renaissance into question. It brings the medieval history into question. It brings ancient history into question. It brings everything into question. Because if we don't know this, then what do we know? And what is true about what happened in history? Indeed, how old is our history? How old is the history of this place? Because there's a very real possibility that as recently as 500 or 600 years ago, we were living in a very, very different world. Of course, you wouldn't think that because we can look at our history books and our history books show a gradual linear progression through civilization into technology and where we are now. And we tend to believe this because it's written in books, you know, the magic spell of the written word, the way it has this effect over us. But the problem is that when you actually go out and travel the world and look around the place, you find all these artifacts lying all over the planet, which tell a completely different story to what we're told in the history books. So what's the truth? Personally, I think the truth is that the human race has done some pretty remarkable things in the past, and all of this information has been obscured from view. A lot of what we are capable of has been hidden from us, and those who have maneuvered themselves into a position of power now are seeking to ensure that they always stay there, and that no one else rises above the mud from this point. They're really attempting to limit human potential, limit human thought, and as I said, limit the possibility of entrepreneurship, of people simply excelling by their own means because of their own intelligence and due to their own creative potential. You know, realizing that potential, being comfortable with it, and being able to excel in it. Now, all of the things about society which were put there to help people are being removed, and everybody is being constrained by legalities in what they can do and even in what they can think about. The social justice warriors are certainly making sure of that and going all out to homogenize the general thinking of society. And social media and smartphones and everything that is being done to make us all the same. When we're not all the same, folks. We all have equal value, certainly. We all have equal right to be here, but not all people have equal potential because not all people think the same way, and not all people are possessed of the same degree of intelligence as other people. Certainly not all people are possessed of the same artistic or creative potential as other people. We've seen some incredibly creative people excel over the centuries. I mean, imagine what it would be like for someone like Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci to be born into the modern world. Imagine how much they would be squashed. They would either be exploited and sent to a special school where they could be exploited and trained to think in a certain way, or they would be told that they are not to think themselves any more capable of anybody else and to just put all these ideas they had aside and to be a good little cog in the big machine. And the same would be for people such as Nikola Tesla, Victor Schauberger, Royal Raymond Rife, or even any of the mainstream scientists or academics that you may like or respect or whatever, Newton or whatever. None of these people would have ever been able to excel and to present their ideas to the world within the confines of the modern social and educational system. You know, none of the great innovators in history would ever have been able to gain a foothold within the current system. And I truly feel incredibly sorry for kids that are growing up through the current education system that are forced to comply to the whim of the current education system. Because this system is designed to limit human potential and to never allow people to excel unless it's by government-approved methods. In fact, within the confines of modern education and academic systems, anyone who does feel creative or artistic will likely be offered the opportunity to change genders because there's simply no room for artistic and creative people and it serves no purpose to think for yourself in the modern world. So why not change genders and become something that you're not? That's literally how bad things have become. I'm not sure how many people saw the news report about a gender transition that has been undertaken for a four-year-old in Australia, ladies and gentlemen. That's how ridiculous it's become. I mean, talk about destroying someone's life before they have the ability to think clearly or think for themselves or even know what gender they really are. Well, what's happening in Australia is a fine example, and this is child abuse. Basically, government-sanctioned child abuse being promoted by a government-controlled media and the demented mouthpieces that the media puts up there to just push this onto the people. And it's absolutely incredible that they do it, and people just allow them to do it. I mean, Australia is going really, really backwards in this respect. It really is leading the way in government-sanctioned child abuse and stupidity and gender transition and the homogenization of not only people's minds, but also of people's sexuality. It's really disgraceful to see. But the most amazing part about it is that people simply aren't standing up and doing anything about it. But that's just the way of this system, folks. That's what the system is designed to do. It's designed to destroy people. It's designed to shape humanity or reshape humanity into what the government wants it to be. And what they want people to be are good little drones who just do what they're told and just think the way they're trained to think. And one of the most important things that this system and this social system and the education system does is to knock you on the head if you think you're a little bit special and to assure you that you're not and that you really shouldn't think you can become anything at all unless it is one of the designated routes to the designated type of government-approved success they think you should have. They just don't want anyone to have any new ideas that might change the balance of power or change the structure of the general social ecosystem. They're quite happy for you to have ideas as long as they can co-opt these ideas and use them as part of the control grid, but they don't want anyone thinking up anything new because they might just lose control of things if people were to do that. And that's the general plan. The kakistocracy who run the world now want to keep running the world and they don't want anyone to be able to shift them out of power. And it never used to be like that, folks. We used to employ politicians and they get up there and do things for a little while and then we'd employ someone else to do it. It was never a career path. It was never a career choice. It was just something that you did for a little while and then you went back to living in the suburbs like everybody else. But over the last few generations, politicians have given themselves perks and lurks, and they've changed the system, and now it has become a career path for the ultra-corrupt. And that is a very unfortunate reality, and it's a situation we have to deal with, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. No matter how uncomfortable it is to admit it, it's a reality, and it's a situation that needs to be rectified. And the problem is, like I said, the politicians are going all out to reduce human potential and to make sure that no one is able to climb to the top of the pile. They're doing this by reducing people's ability to be able to think properly, their ability to really be able to understand their environment. You know, I mentioned earlier how they are removing awards from schools so that there's nobody able to excel. Everybody becomes homogenized. But they're also doing things to our biology, which is quite dangerous as well. Like, not only are they messing with us genetically through the food and the vaccines and biologically altering us that way, making it very difficult for people to have babies so they can bring in their artificial sperm and their ectogenesis chambers and all this sort of stuff. Not only are they doing that, but they are also doing far more insidious things, such as removing our ability to hear properly or to see properly. You know, and they do this by limiting the light spectrum and limiting the sound spectrum that we're exposed to. It's like if you sit in a chair for the next 20 years and you don't actually get up and walk around, your legs will become atrophied because you simply didn't use them. And it's the same with your hearing and your sight. If you don't use it, then it becomes atrophied. What they've done with MP3s, for example, is they've removed certain frequencies from the music because, well, we figured you don't really need to hear those frequencies. And they've done it under the guise of reducing the file size for you, of course. But what they've done is they've removed a lot of the spectrum of music, a lot of the spectrum of sounds that you're normally used to hearing. So if you listen to MP3s on headphones all the time and your ears become used to only hearing that particular spectrum of sound, then your ears become atrophied and they don't hear the other spectrums. Eventually, there's just no need for them to actually listen to those areas. Subconsciously, this is how it works. It's the same with LED lighting. LED lighting is a very, very bland form of lighting. It's very unnatural and does not cover the full spectrum range of light frequencies that one normally sees in daylight. This, again, in turn, limits people's vision. It limits their ability to be able to take in these other spectrums and slowly blinds them. And they're doing this again with the spraying. This is one of the things, the byproducts of the chemical spraying that goes on in the sky. And for people who think that they're not spraying in the sky, please go and wake yourself up somewhere. Splash some water in your face or something. I'm so sick of people coming and saying, oh, chemtrails are a myth. They're not spraying. I mean, look up in the air. They are spraying and they've been doing it for a couple of decades now. The skies didn't look like this when I was a child. It's very simple. They are spraying the skies. And this is a multi-platform delivery system. There's all sorts of reasons for it, but one of the byproducts of it is limiting the spectrum of light. Look at the sky now. It doesn't look blue anymore, not that deep, rich blue that it used to be. Now it's kind of a bluey, silvery haze, and it's like this everywhere. It's very, very difficult to find any real blue sky anywhere anymore. And this basically puts a silver light over the earth, which limits our light spectrum again. I mean, all of these things are designed to limit the human experience and to reduce human potential. I mean, talk about reducing human potential. Look what they've done to the family structure in all of our countries. Look what they've done to the family units here in Australia, the legal system, the family court. The destruction of the male via the family court in Australia is actually quite profound. You know, you can do anything you want now, say anything you want against the husband, take any action you want, and the husband will basically be thrown to the wolves in Australia. And there's so many men that are absolutely being destroyed by the legal system in this country due to, unfortunately, the actions of predator women. I mean, sure, there's a lot of bad husbands that do bad things, but there's a lot of bad wives that do bad things as well. The problem is that the Australian family court system makes it attractive for families to break up. It makes it attractive, financially attractive, for a woman to leave her husband, take the kids and take everything that she can from the husband and to shaft the husband as much as possible. If she isn't prepared to really go for the throat with the husband, then she doesn't get as many benefits from the government. So it's unfortunate that the Australian family legal system has made it a very simple process for a woman who can't find a home anywhere, can't find a place in society, to simply go and find herself a husband, have a child, and then take him to the cleaners and get massive handouts from the government for the rest of her life for doing so. So that, unfortunately, has become a career path for many people, or it would seem that way, looking at Australia anyway. And it really is quite disgraceful. Again, this is all the result of government corruption, all the result of this system, which is designed to squash and limit human potential. And look, in saying that, I'm not saying anything against women. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of bad husbands who do bad things. But in Australia, if you look at the way the family system, the family court system is constructed, it's constructed to make this a very viable career choice for a woman who can't find another path in life. And that's an unfortunate reality. And even if the decision isn't made as a career choice, what it does is make it a viable option for any young, struggling family. As soon as the family gets in any type of difficulty at all, which is very, very easy to do given the current economic system and the way the system is designed to ensure that families do end up in difficulty. You know, in times of stress, families need to pull together, but the government makes sure it's a far more attractive option for the woman to simply leave. This, of course, creates a family with a single mother and there is no father figure for the kids, and then the kids grow up dysfunctional and then they get on drugs and Ritalin, and it all serves the system all very well. And this is why this system is in place the way it is. You know, and it's a great way of dividing the community. It's a great way of making sure there's people on welfare all the time, making sure that people are dependent upon the nanny state. It's just a great way of controlling things and a great way of distracting people with the rigors of everyday life, which is why they do all this stuff. You know, and they do all of this stuff just to keep us distracted. All these wars, all of this theater, all this posturing, the worrying about the monetary system, nuclear war, all this stuff, and all the things they do to us on the ground, such as what I've just mentioned through the family courts, the drug problems, the drugs that they bring in and spread amongst the populace themselves, the heroin, the cocaine, the crack, everything. All of it is done to limit human potential and to further control human beings. And all of it is being done while this smart grid is being rolled out beneath it all. Again, I've spoken about this so many times, but that's what's happening underneath it all. And that's why we're seeing such a huge escalation in all this stuff at the moment. That's why we're seeing the system going hell for leather to ramp itself up in every direction that it possibly can. We've got so much theatrics happening at the moment. Posturing of wars and currency crashes and every stress they can think of to involve the family and education system, transgenderism, all the stuff that's going on, all of it to distract from what is really going on under the surface, which is this whole smart transhumanist reality that they're bringing online. Of course, this is why they want all the gender transition as well, folks, because once you merge with machine, you won't have a real gender, and so it needs to become acceptable for there to be 34 genders, because otherwise, robots won't really have a place in society, and those who are enhanced by machines won't really have a place in society. It will be very difficult to find any type of legal status or socially acceptable place to put them if we don't establish this concept of 34 genders before we bring all this transhumanism online. That it may not be quite so acceptable. There's always a deeper play, ladies and gentlemen. There's always more to what you see on the surface, and really when you step back and look at all of this stuff, you find that it's all intertwined and it all leads towards the same agenda. That's why I cover so many topics on the show. You know, even when I do one of these thought flows, I tend to go off on down so many rabbit holes and so many tangents, but when you come back, you find that they're all tied together anyway. So really, you've got to look from all of these perspectives if you want to be able to see the bigger picture. But I think we've reached break time here, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so the theatrics in the world are just continuing. Everyone's still clinging on to every word that Q is dropping onto 4chan. And speculation as to even whether QAnon is actually AI. I'm not particularly convinced that QAnon is AI myself, but hey, who knows? You really never know what's going on in the world today. The posturing against North Korea is escalating as well, as to be expected. This is, again, to bring about the One Belt, One Road initiative that China is rolling out. You'll see China step in reasonably soon, probably around February or March, maybe a little bit later, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was around February or March that China will step in to quell the situation and save the day and prevent World War III from happening, and the world will be so overjoyed at the actions of China, how they've just saved us all from this terrible conflict that was about to happen, which was complete theatre for the masses anyway, and all designed to usher China into its new economic position in the world. And I would expect to see this happen around about February. That would provide 4 months to clean up the mess in preparation for the beginning of the new financial year at the end of June. And then we will see a huge economic restructuring happening. And this is all hypothetical, of course, and it may not go down this way at all, but it would not surprise me in the least if it does. Israel has also announced it is very likely going to adopt a new national cryptocurrency. So that is very revealing, that Israel would be the first one to adopt a national cryptocurrency. Who knows whether that's true, but it certainly is being reported from some circles, and it is in the pipeline. And with all the talk we're seeing come out of 4chan with QAnon and all of this stuff, the indictments, the sealed indictments, all the pedophiles being arrested, all this stuff, have you actually seen any changes yet, folks? Have you actually seen anybody being arrested? Have you seen any changes to the political system? Have you seen anything on the ground change at all since Trump got elected? Just be honest with yourself and look around you and ask what changes that you've seen. You know, all we've really seen is a huge escalation in the conflict in the Middle East. We've seen Israel going absolutely hell for leather with new settlements since Trump's announcement that he's going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. We've seen a couple of other countries suggest that they will also move their embassies to Jerusalem if America does so. So this is a huge blow against the Palestinian people, very, very much supported by Donald Trump. We've seen all of this theatre and all this stuff going on and everyone waiting on the edge of their seats for something to happen, but nothing has happened because nothing ever happens. All of this stuff is put there to keep people distracted, to keep people waiting for the big change, which is always imminent but never comes. And meanwhile, underneath it, as I keep saying, is the smart grid all rolling out. And this smart grid is rolling out very quickly. They'll have the whole thing fully online by 2020. That's around about 2 years away, folks. This isn't very long. So they only have to keep people distracted with political theatre for the next 2 years, and suddenly everyone is going to find themselves in this digital prison that they didn't really know was coming. Well, a lot of people were warning them that it was coming, but they just didn't pay attention. And looking at the smart grid and 5G and all of this that's coming online, folks, there's a lot of disinformation out there. There's a lot of fear-mongering with 5G as well. You know, the 5G grid that's coming online is a very dangerous system because underlying it is the potential for it to be used as an active denial system. But everything isn't simply going to go wrong as soon as this rolls out and we're all suddenly going to die and get microwaved. It isn't going to be like that at all. 5G is necessary for the IoT, for the Internet of Things to come online. What's dangerous about it in its inception, even with whatever benign use it might be given with the Internet of Things, the problem is that it is a millimeter wave, which is a very dangerous wave. It's the same as an airport scanner. So essentially when the 5G system comes online, it's going to be like we're all living inside an airport scanner. And that's not a very comforting prospect. But the real problem with 5G is the fact that underneath it is the potential for it to be used as an active denial system, a microwave system. And what may happen in the future, once the AI that runs the 5G system becomes fully autonomic. This is something we're talking about maybe 5 to 7 years in the future. But this is nothing to really be fearful of right now, although the concern is that, as I said, it's a millimeter wave and it'll be like we're living in airport scanners. You're going to see a huge increase in skin cancers and perhaps people having emotional problems, sickness, ringing of the ears, just general malaise through the community, I would say, as soon as the system comes online. But it's not going to be instant death and instant New World Order lockdown, as many people are promoting. That isn't what the 5G grid's about at all. It's more about creating the speed needed in order to power the Internet of Things and in order to power the intelligent cars, self-driving cars, and the surveillance grid that they're putting in around the world. In order to get information to Palantir in real time, you need something like 5G. Because the 5G system will carry that information quick enough to get to things like Palantir. You know, they need to be able to track anybody in real time and intercept anybody in real time and control anybody in real time. And they can't really do that with the current system, but the 5G bandwidth, the millimeter waves, will provide the speed they need to do that. And you think about it, with the Internet of Things, with everything having its own IP address, you know, we're talking everything from pill bottles to plant water, is everything in supermarkets all having its own IP address, everything is automated. So you think of the amount of people that are shopping at one time and the amount of speed that will be needed to process all of these transactions. So you really do need a fast system such as 5G for this to happen. So it is essential to the Internet of Things. And the problem is, as I said, the active denial system that lies underneath it and what that could be used for in the future. So don't be too paranoid about the 5G grid coming online at the moment. I mean, they're going to roll this out anyway, folks. That's what they're going to do. What we need to look at is the infrastructure that's been put in place to support the 5G grid. You know, we can address that. That is how we deal with the 5G system. You know, we start addressing the smart meters, things like the in-power movement, things like these liability notices. We start addressing all of these little aspects of it, start addressing some of the conveniences we're being talked into using, and this is how we start addressing this system. You know, but if everyone sits in paranoia of 5G and thinks, oh my God, as soon as this comes online, I'm going to get microwave, well, that's not where you should be. That's not what's going to happen, and that's not the way you should be thinking. You know, the 5G grid is very bad. The 5G system is very bad. But it isn't the be-all and end-all quite yet. What they need to do is to put all of this infrastructure in place and to get the Internet of Things online and to switch all the currency over to digital. None of this will be possible without 5G, but it isn't the 5G system itself that is the problem. It's the smart grid that follows it. It's the Internet of Things. It's the fact that every action that you perform will be monitored and it will have an economic value attached to it. It's very important for people to make that distinction when looking at all this. And why is it so difficult for mankind to find their way out of this mess that we find ourselves in? With this whole smart grid coming online and everything that's happening, all these wars, all this posturing, why is it so difficult when so many people know what's going on for us to find the way out, find the escape route? And again, folks, it's because people want a game plan. People are so caught in their left brains, they're so caught in the concept of a system that they need you to present another system that they can use in order to escape from the system. It's really bizarre, you know, and they don't realize that what they will be putting in place is simply another system, and that is not what life is about. Now, you think about this, you know, you come here for a very, very short time. You do, you know, 50, 60, 100 years, whatever. It's not a very long time. It may seem like a long life as you're living it, but once you get a few years behind you, you realize what a short experience it is. And the system is simply put in place to curtail that experience and to limit human potential. That is its entire purpose, ladies and gentlemen. There is no other purpose for this system. You could say this system feeds us and it clothes us, it provides infrastructure, it does all these things. But it does all of those things, but all of those things are not necessary for mankind to live. They might be necessary for us to live within this social economic structure, but this social economic structure is itself a fiction that has been created to limit human potential. So you don't come here, you don't enter into the garden to experience the abundance of the garden and to live your life to the fullest of your creative potential. You get put into the machine and you've got to live your life in this meat grinder trying to find a way to climb to the top of the pile and spend your life doing so. And when you get there, it's time for you to die and it was all for nothing anyway. It was just there to distract you. That is the purpose of this system. That is the purpose of government. The entire purpose of government is to distract people from reality and to limit human potential, to make sure no one ever really thinks outside the box and no one ever really looks around them. It's simply to train people to be functional little cogs in the people farm that they live in. That is the entire purpose of the system. That is the entire purpose of government. Government is not your friend. It is not anybody's friend. Government does not do anything beneficial for this world. All it does is create mayhem and war and limit human potential, as is its purpose. That's why it becomes so frustrating seeing the amount of people now that are looking to government to save them, to see the amount of people in the independent media that are now running after the coattails of Trump, thinking he's going to save things, thinking that the state is now not the state simply because Trump is president of the United States. It's ridiculous. The state is still the state. Look at what Trump has done. All he's done is capitulate to the needs of Israel since getting office. And all Israel has done is continue to stomp on Palestine and spread its tentacles throughout the rest of the world. But again, you know, what do we do about all this, folks? This whole situation, this whole meme that enslaves us is simply a meme. It's simply an idea. It's simply a concept that's been put into our heads that we need this system in place and we need government to be here. The whole thing is a result of training, a result of programming, the result of this educational and academic systems, which has instilled this belief in authority into people. Now, that's the problem, is our unquestioning belief in authority and our willingness to go along with all the ridiculous parameters of this system rather than simply embracing life itself. And this is a wondrous place to be. This is an incredible reality, and we could do amazing things if we were not constrained by our governments and by our systems. But the only reasons these things are in place is because we choose to comply. You know, getting this message to people is very difficult. You know, freedom is so close, and it's so obvious, and it's so in front of your face, and it's so easy to just reach out and grasp if people would simply wake up to themselves. That is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. This whole system is designed to keep you asleep, and most people are asleep, and all those who are wanting a game plan to get out of this mess are also asleep. They can't see the forest for the trees. They can't see that which is right before them and that which is right inside them, which is their own potential. You know, they simply can't see themselves for what they are. It's like we're living in a dream world and we're all living in a virtual reality already. It's like we're coated in this stuff that slows us down. All we have to do is take off these shackles, take off these chains, take off this image of ourselves that we've put on and look at our true selves and look at the true selves and the true potential of other people and just realize what we can be. You know, to me, it's so simple and so obvious and it would be so easy to do. And it frustrates me no end that others simply can't see it and they want a game plan. They want someone to lead them to safety when they don't realize that the only ones who can do that is themselves. And once they realize their own potential, there's nothing else they have to do. All they have to do is stand in that and the world will change around them. Now, it's a ripple effect. If you stop indulging in wrong behavior, if you stop allowing wrong behavior in your life, you stop tolerating wrong behavior and you start doing the right thing, always stay within the parameters of your moral compass, then it's a ripple effect. It changes the world. It has to change people around you. And it does. I mean, I'm living proof that it does, folks, because this is how I live my life. I live my life in a state of giving and attempting to help people, and my life just unfolds in the right way. You know, it's kind of almost charmed the way my life just falls into place all the time. Simply because of the attitude that I have and the attitude that I have towards other people. You know, we could change this system so simply, folks. We really could, but we've got to realize that it's a fiction. The whole thing is a fiction. You know, even all the pathways, the free man pathways and the legal remedies and all the stuff we look for, these are all fiction as well. I mean, you're looking within a fictional system trying to find a fictional reality to the fiction. I mean, what is this all about? Sure, there's little modicums of remedy we can get that way, but ultimately you've got to step above the whole thing. You know, even with the Empower movement and the liability notice that they're putting out to people, if you aren't spiritually aware, then this isn't going to work. It's not going to work if you don't know who you are, if you're prepared to follow what is written on paper and not stand in your own personal power, then nothing is going to work. And if you are prepared to do that, then it's all you really have to do. That's always been the way out of this mess. You know, right since the beginning, that's been the way out. That's been my message right since the beginning as well. You know, and it does work. You know, I see so many people adopt this attitude and it changes their lives. And if the whole world were to adopt this attitude, it would change the world. But even in saying that, we don't need the entire world to do it. We just need those people who are active against the system to refocus their perspective a little bit onto their own personal power and realize that they don't have to fill out forms. They don't have to put in applications and lodge this and lodge that. All they have to do is stand up as a functional human being. That's all they have to do. Stand in the basic power of that humanity and you will change the world. Nothing can stand against that, ladies and gentlemen. No other human being can stand against that anyway. You know, the power of a self-aware human being is absolutely phenomenal and can change this world. Indeed, it is what has changed the world every time in the past. Even those who've done bad things in the past, they've done so because they are confident in their own power enough to actually stand up and simply do it. And that's all we need to do, folks, to stand up and simply do it. And we have to stop squabbling. That is one of the main things that holds us back, is the argumentative state of the resistance, how everybody has their head down rabbit holes. It's just ridiculous. We have to stop squabbling and get a little bit of focus. And we have to realize that we are the solution. The solution has to come from the people. The solution has to come from people who refuse to step outside the moral compass. Trump isn't going to save anything. As I said earlier, it's really blown me out how many people are embracing the state now simply because the state has a new face. It's absolutely incredible. Nothing's changing on the ground, but people are caught up in the theatrics, and they can't see that that's why all this has been done. You know, when you look at the smart grid and you look at this whole AI system, the 5G network, everything that is rolling out, it makes perfect sense for someone like Trump to have been put in the big chair just to polarize the community and to keep people fighting and arguing and to dangle a carrot in front of the truth community, to throw them a bone and make them think like something's going to change and that Trump is the struggling underdog in there battling for the real people when he's not. It's very obvious that he's not. He's sitting next to Peter Thiel, he's sitting next to Mike Pence, and it's Mike Pence who's really running things, folks. Trump's just a mouthpiece for Israel, he's just a Zionist puppet. And all of this QAnon and all of the deep state theatre that's going on, all the theatrics, all the rubbish that's being fed to people by certain elements within the independent media, that keep people on the edge of their seats waiting for something to happen, waiting for this big change to happen, which is always imminent and never comes. And it all makes perfect sense for this to have been done right now while this whole 5G grid is being rolled out, just to keep people distracted and just to allow it to happen. And there's theatrics from so many angles, it's just absurd. This war with North Korea that is never going to happen. And it's right at a crucial time, because now is the time people could simply put all of their differences down. I mean, you look at the cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and all this sort of stuff. You could actually use this to disconnect from the financial system. If people were to disconnect from the system themselves now and simply walk away from it, they've actually got the finances to do it, a lot of these Bitcoin people. They could actually use this to completely circumvent this ridiculous legal system and to bring some accountability to this government, to bring some accountability to these politicians, because many of them actually have the money that they could put into doing so. Why isn't anybody doing that? Why haven't any of the people who've made millions on Bitcoin actually be using that to change this system? No, it's all about personal gain. It's all about stuff. When, in fact, there are so many things in play at the moment that could be used to change the world if people could get that focus and realize that it's us who has to change it. You know, even those who are looking at all this Bitcoin stuff and the cryptocurrency and the way things are changing, they're seeing all this really positive stuff which could come from it. Yes, there could be really positive stuff come from it. But when you've got this same government situation in place, when you've got the Rothschilds and when you've got people like Donald Trump and you've got the Clinton Foundation and you've got the British Royal Family, you've got Malcolm Turnbull here in Australia, when you still have this same cacistocracy in place all over the world, what changes are you going to see? What sort of a system are we going to have if we have not addressed and dealt with this criminal cacistocracy, which is in control of all of our governments? You can't just ignore this. You can't just ignore that these people are here and think that if all this cryptocurrency takes over and it all goes to blockchain and blah, 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 suddenly we're all going to be home and hosed and free. We're not, because this cacistocracy is still in place. These wars are still going. You know, the degradation of society is still going. There's still refugees locked up in detention centres in the centre of Australia. Nothing is changing, folks. So that's the thing, you know, you can't just think you can walk away from the system and not address what has brought us to this point and find that we're going to be in any positive sort of a situation. You know, if you allow the cacistocracy to remain in power, it isn't going to matter what sort of a system comes online. It isn't going to matter how we change anything. If these people are still pulling the strings at the top, then they're just going to co-opt whatever we do, and it's all going to be led down the path they want to lead it down anyway. You know, and we're not addressing that fact. We're not acknowledging the fact that the world is run by criminals. The world is run by a ruling cacistocracy, and we need to name that for what it is. And if we don't name it for what it is, we can't expect to see any positive change. Don't think you can do anything within this system and it's all just suddenly going to turn to roses if these people are still in control at the top. You know, and if we're still forced to pay for every aspect of our lives and everything you do to be based on an economic model, then we're not going to see any real change at all. And to change all of that, folks, it's got to come from the hearts of the people. That's the only place it can come from. You can't think the government's ever going to put anything in place to make things good for you, because they're not. Donald Trump's not going to do that. Of course he's not. He's a billionaire. What does he care? He doesn't care about you. He may pretend that he does, but he doesn't. He cares about himself. He cares about the bigger picture and where things are going to go for the grand future that they want to unfold, which, of course, will see Israel in a state of total safety at the center of everything, and no one must dare mess with Israel, when it's actually Israel that has created this whole global situation just to bring that situation about. All one big sordid puppet show, ladies and gentlemen. All one big sordid puppet show, but becoming very obvious to everybody, and hopefully this next year is going to be the year when people are going to start seeing through the haze a little bit and see where they're going to be led. Hopefully when this new One Belt, One Road situation starts to come about and become obvious, hopefully when people see China step in and squash these war theatrics between the United States and North Korea, people will see how predictable all this is. Hopefully this year will bring about some change, will bring about some human empowerment that will lead to change anyway. Hopefully elements within the independent media will see how they've been played, how they've been polarized, and they'll put their differences aside and get a little bit of focus on the bigger picture. Hopefully people will begin to see that now is the time that they can make a difference and that they are the ones that have to do this and that they can do this. Hopefully this will be the year that people actually become a little bit empowered and people will put their differences aside. Hopefully people will agree to disagree and agree to stand up and create the reality that we would all like to see. But it's got to come from the people, folks. It's got to come from the hearts of each individual out there. So all I can say is put down your stuff with other people. Stop fighting. Stop arguing. Stop promoting the polarization and realize that we are all facing a common foe and we need a common focus. And so it's getting very close to that time where we have again reached the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry I didn't get a show out to you last week. I meant to bring one to you last week, but I was still quite jet-lagged. I tell you, I kind of really noticed the travel once I actually hit Australia. I noticed being on the road for 11 months and what it had actually done to my body. It's all very well when you get to some other place, such as Peru or whatever, and you sort of relax there in your tumbo and you can feel the miles falling away from you a little bit, but it's much different when you actually come to your own home and you stop and you allow yourself to decompress in that sort of an environment. And all I really did for the first 2 weeks that I was here was sleep, I think, the most oddest hours, but I was just so incredibly exhausted, and I still am. It's been very, very hard to bounce back after the last 11 months of travel, so I apologize for not bringing a show to you last week. I will try to keep them regular while I'm here in Australia. I'm only here until the 31st of January, and then I have to head back again and finish the tour that I was on. And that should come to its conclusion around about October. And then I will be home, and I will be able to stay home for at least a couple of years, and I'm looking forward to that one. Looking forward to getting off the road, folks. It's really nice to meet people, and it's really nice to see people, and it's nice to see all these places, but the travel itself is incredibly grueling and it really does get to you. But that travel will be including, as I've said so often lately, the Anacapulco gig in Mexico, which is the last public speaking event I'm going to be doing. I will be speaking at the Open Mind event in Ireland in March next year, and I'm going to be doing that via video link up. So if you'd like to come and see me, Anacapulco in Mexico is the place to do it. There will be another Cambo workshop that I'm doing in Hawaii in March next year, I believe, and possibly one later in the year, you never know. But I intend to dedicate most of the coming year to working on the new films, which I really would like to get finished. I've been working on them for a little while now, and I've been meaning to get them released for quite a while, but traveling just doesn't seem to permit that. But thank you to everybody who continues to support the show. Thank you to the enormous amount of people who write so many kind emails to me. I'm sorry I haven't responded to as many of them as I'd like to. I've got a huge backlog of emails there that I've got pinned and marked and I do want to respond to, and I will get time to eventually, so please bear with me on that one. But thank you very much to those who continue to support the website. Thank you to those who support the Patreon account. You are the only thing that keeps this show on the air, and I cannot thank my Patreon supporters enough. Truly, I absolutely mean that from the very depths of my soul. And if you are someone out there who is able to make a contribution, it would be most appreciated, because it truly is the only thing that keeps this show on the air. But that is it for me, folks. I've completely run out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I will get a show to you next week, never fear. And there should be a couple of interviews kicking around that will be released in the next few days as well. So that's hopefully something to make up for the lack of broadcasts that have been forthcoming in the last few months. It's really been quite a grueling few months, folks, and I've noticed the output slowing down simply because my energies are becoming more and more depleted. But that is all coming back into balance now, so we should be heading for a pretty positive year. But that is it for me now, folks. I've now completely run out of time. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In Lakesh.